welcome to the Woodland Drive-In Church. We're glad that you've come here to worship today. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Will you join me in prayer? Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for this day set aside. Worship. We ask your blessing on Dr. Verbrugge as he opens your word to us. We pray, Lord, that you will open our hearts and our minds to hear your word, that we might leave here strengthened in our knowledge of you and better prepared to be your servants in the coming week. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And now Randy Claflin will lead us in a ministry of music.
Tempted and tried with oft made you wonder why it should be thus all the day long. While there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why. Cheer up, my brothers, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why. Cheer up, my brothers, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Yes, we'll understand it all by and by.
Thank you very much, Randy. When you came in this morning, you received a packet. And I would like to call your attention to some of the things in there. First of all is the prayer card. Scripture tells us, cast all your cares upon the Lord, for he cares about you. And so if you have a concern or a request or a thanksgiving, we invite you to put it down on the card. and then turn on your headlights or wave your hand out the window, and one of the lot attendants will come by and pick it up and bring it up to the platform. And Dr. Verbrugge will include it in the prayer later on in the service. And the prayer requests are also given to Woodland Prayer Partners, who during this coming week will be praying to God for your concern. And so if you haven't already done so, go ahead and fill out your prayer requests at this time. And there's also a registration card that you can use to let us know if you have a request or would like a visit. And if you're here for the first time, we would like to know how you found out about the Woodland Drive-In Church. And if you would let us know on the registration card, we would appreciate that very much. Finally, there's an envelope, and if you would like to support this ministry in a financial way, you can put an offering in the envelope and give it to a lot attendant as you leave the service, and we would be grateful for that. And now Dr. Verbrugge will give us the scripture.
Thank you very much, Mike. It's good to be here again this morning on this little bit chillier Sunday. The air temperature isn't so bad, but the east wind is very noticeable. I do have a heater down here, and it does make a difference. So I will be standing outside here. I thought about going inside today, but actually it's not too bad. I've had a good week this week. I did have one chemo treatment, and I have another one this week. I'll have one every week for 3 weeks, and then I'll have a week off. And we'll just continue to pray that the Lord uses them to help arrest the situation I talked about last week Sunday. What I had intended to do during the month of January was to complete my series on the pastoral letters. Before Christmas, I did a series of messages on 1 Timothy and Titus, two of the pastoral letters. I'm going through them in chronological order. Now we're into 2 Timothy. The sermon I'm giving today is actually the one I planned to give 3 weeks ago today. But the Lord had other plans for me, and we didn't even have a service on that Sunday. And then 2 weeks ago, David Fries was here. And then last week, Sunday, I gave a sermon in order to try and explain what was going on and how I believe the Lord was leading me at this time. And that was from the book of Philippians. Now I'm going to go back to the letter of 2 Timothy, which, as I'll explain in a few minutes, is a unique document, a unique book of the Bible. Nothing else like it in the New Testament or even in the Old Testament. So I'm going to read chapter 1. I'm going to do the same thing I did with the pastoral letters during the fall time. Read an entire chapter, but I'm not going to speak on every part of every chapter. I'm going to select a verse or two or a few verses in order to orient ourselves to some of the life-changing thoughts that are contained in this letter. So today we're going to read 2 Timothy chapter 1, printed for you on your worship guide. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now
is also in you. For this reason, I remind you to fan the flame of God, the flame of the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit of God gave us, the Spirit that God gave us did not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God, because he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and a teacher and an apostle. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he has often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well how he helped me in Ephesus. Given an opportunity for prayer requests. Please pray for Monique's mother and father. Her mother is dealing with various health issues, and her father is struggling to care for her and keep the family business going. Please pray for the Al Vogel family, who passed away on Friday. Please pray for a brother-in-law of mine who passed away on Friday. So we have two deaths this past Friday to remember in our prayers. For peace in the Middle East, and pray for our soldiers. And I'll continue to ask prayers on my behalf as the chemo treatments continue for the pancreatic cancer that we talked about last week. Shall we go to the Lord in prayer? Father in heaven, on this cold but clear Sunday morning, we are thankful that we can come to you. You are a great God. You are the eternal God. And yet you are the God who has appeared to us in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. And you have brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That is a great privilege, dear Lord, to be able to say, that we can have eternal life no matter what happens to us. We praise your name for that. And we pray, dear God, that you will always remind us of that gift of eternal life. That was very meaningful to Paul in his circumstances here. It's also meaningful to all of us. It's especially meaningful in the context of prayer requests that we have received. Lord, we pray that you will be with the Al Vogel family and that you will give them what they stand in need of as they grieve his passing. He's been with us a long time, and we are thankful for that. But now he has gone to be with you. And we pray for another family worshiping here, O Lord, who also lost a loved one on Friday of this week. We pray that you will be with that family circle too as they grieve the loss of a brother-in-law and a father and a grandfather Lord, we pray that your hand will be with all of those who are grieving, but we are especially hopeful because we know in the name and in the power of Jesus there is life and immortality that he offers to us freely by his grace. Lord, as we reflect on that truth today, may that truth be especially rich and meaningful to us. We pray, dear God, also for peace in the Middle East and for our soldiers who are there. We pray, O Lord, that in the various countries of the Middle East and the countries that border Russia, that there may be peace, that people will put down their weapons, realizing that they are not able to settle their differences through the use of destruction and killing. All that does is to pass on to the next generation the hatred that so often follows after a time of war. We pray, Lord, that you will be with the Middle East and with those who are trying to make peace and to realize that it is time now to put aside weapons and to make peace among all the parties that are there and to realize that you have come into this world as the Prince of Peace and not as a Prince of War. And that your goal is that we as human beings learn to get along with one another. And that we love one another even as you have loved us. And that we love even our enemies. And so we pray, O Lord, that you will be with all of those who are working to make peace. Right, raise up new peacemakers, O Lord, who will come with fresh ideas on how people can learn to get along with one another. We pray, O Lord, for Monique's father and mother, a mother who is dealing with various health issues and her father who is struggling to care for her, as well as to keep the family business going. That can be very difficult, O Lord, in a time like this, when a person's time and energies are being separated, and a person feels as if he doesn't have enough time to spread himself in both areas. We pray that someone will be able to come in order to give relief, and that he'll be able to work on both ends and make ends meet. We pray too, O Lord, that you will be with my own situation. We pray that you will give healing, O Lord, and use the chemo treatments that have started to arrest the disease that is growing within me, and by your grace, dear God, to put the fire out that is trying to destroy cells within my body. We pray for any others, O Lord, who are also experiencing health issues. We pray that your hand will be with them and that they may experience also the healing grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray that you will be with each of us in our daily struggles. There are some here who perhaps have financial struggles, work struggles, health issues that they haven't written down on a card here. Lord, in all of the situations that we may be facing, may we experience the grace and the healing hand and the majestic presence and the gracious love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be with us then, dear God, throughout the rest of this worship service. We thank you for each person who is here. Lord, it's a very chilly morning, and many people have come out to this place of worship. Many people in our country, in our city, don't quite understand why people would choose to worship here, but they do. And we pray that they may receive a blessing from this service as they listen to it, and as they go from this place back to their homes and begin another week. Hear us then, we pray, O Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Last night I dreamed an angel came. He took my hand, he called my name. He bid me look the other way. I saw a man, I heard him say. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men to me. He turned and then I saw those nail-scarred hands that bled for me. I touched the hem of his garment that fell round him there. My life, my heart, I gave my soul, was in his care. When I awoke, my heart beat so, and in the dark, I saw a glow. This was no dream. He turned my way. Again I heard Lord Jesus say. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men to me. He turned and then I saw those nail-scarred hands that bled for me. I touched the hem of his garment that fell round him there. My life, my heart, I gave my soul, was in his care. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men to me. He turned and then I saw the nail-scarred hands that bled for me. I touched the hem of his garment that fell round him there. My life, my heart, I gave my soul, was in his care. My life, my heart, I gave my soul, was in his care.
Thank you very much, Randy. The story in the Gospels, you know, about touching the hem of Jesus' garment and the woman was healed. I suppose there's a lot of us here, including myself, who would love to be able to do that, touch the hem of Jesus' garment and be fully healed. But that's what prayer is all about. Prayer is like touching the hem of Jesus' garment and asking for healing. And the Lord heals us in various ways. I've already told you that I'm going to be preaching on the four chapters of 2 Timothy. Now, This is a unique book in the scriptures. I already said that, but I didn't tell you why. Paul is in prison when he writes this letter. There are references to his being in chains in a couple of places in the passage that we read. Now, last week when I preached on Philippians 1, I also pointed to those verses that talked about chains, because Paul was in prison there. Those of you who were here last week Sunday may remember that I asked the question, along with Paul, what's going to happen to me? Am I going to be put to death by the authorities? Or am I going to be released and be able to continue my ministry? And Paul says in Philippians 1, you know, if I really wanted, had the complete option of making my own choice, I would prefer to die and to go be with Jesus. But he had a strong, strong feeling that his ministry and his work on earth was not over. And he was quite sure that the Lord was going to release him. And the Lord did. And Paul was able to continue his ministry. He does not have that certainty here in 2 Timothy. This time, something different was taking place. Most likely, and most scholars believe, that at the time that Paul was in prison in 2 Timothy, he had been put into prison by the Emperor Nero. There had been a big fire in Rome, and there were rumors about that Nero himself had set the fire. He was kind of a pyromaniac, they said. He loved to watch fires, and that he had somehow or other set the city of Rome on fire, and the people in Rome were pretty angry about that and were ready to do something to him. So he found a scapegoat, namely the Christians. He said, there are a group of people here in this city who are worshipers of false gods, and they are the ones who set the goddess Roma on fire and burned down the city. And then he began a massive persecution against Christians. All you need to do is go on the internet and check the burning of Rome in the AD 60s, and you would read about the persecution that Nero did on the Christians, in which he blamed them for the fire of Rome. And of course, one of the key things he wanted to do was to catch the leaders. According to church tradition, Peter died at this time. He was martyred by the Emperor Nero, and so was Paul. The tradition has it that Peter was crucified upside down. He did not feel it right for himself to be crucified the way his Lord has. But since Paul was a Roman emperor, a Roman citizen, he could not be crucified, and that he was beheaded. We don't know 100% if that's true, but those are the traditions. But it is virtually agreed that Paul was executed by the Emperor Nero. And he felt quite sure that his present imprisonment, which was taking place at this time, was going to result in his death. He was not going to be released like he had been during the time that he wrote the book of Philippians. He even says in chapter 4, and we'll get to that, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me, and not to me only, but to all of those who have loved his appearing. Paul feels quite certain that he is about to die. And he is writing this letter to Timothy. Timothy was probably in Ephesus at this time, where he was when 1 Timothy was written. Not 100% sure, but that's quite possible. He certainly was in Asia, because Paul speaks here about what some of his own experiences in Asia. And so this letter then, and I remember that, all four chapters of it, this letter is sometimes called Paul's last will and testament. And he is writing it to someone whom he calls my dear son. Paul, to the best of our knowledge, was never married. He never had any children. But he had many children, children in the faith. In 1 Timothy, he calls Titus, my son in the faith. Here he calls him my dear son. And he is writing this, in a sense, as a final letter to his dear son in the faith. Timothy meant an awful lot to him. And Timothy was going to carry on the torch to the next generation and lead the church and become a powerful evangelist for Jesus Christ. If you were in that situation, what would you do? Many of you have children. If you knew you were going to die soon, and some parents and grandparents actually do this. They will take the time to write a letter to each of their children and just say something to them. What would you say? Think about that sometime. Maybe even jot some things down. I have to challenge my own self to do that. What would I say if I were going to do that? To say to each of my five children something that I would want them to remember about themselves and about Jesus. Remember that as we go from week to week in the next 4 weeks. The Lord gives me the ability to be here each one of those weeks. What would I say to them? What would you say to them? What does Paul say to Timothy? Now, as I said, I'm not going to go through all the verses here. But I am going to go especially through the middle section of the chapter that we read. What Paul does, one of the things that Paul does, in addition to talking about his grandmother, and his mother. And Paul doesn't get that personal usually in his letters, but he does, especially in this letter, because Timothy means so much to him. But the focus of this chapter, the focus of this letter, I'd like to say, is in verse 10, where Paul speaks about the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Starting in verse 9, this grace was given us in Christ before the beginning of time, but has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. This has to have been the focus of what Paul wanted to get across to Timothy. That the grace of God has appeared through Jesus Christ, who brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Remember, Paul knows that his life is going to be snuffed out in a very short time. He's not expecting to live. And yet he says, I'm not really going to die. I'm going to live forever. Because of the appearing of God in Jesus Christ, because of what Jesus Christ did in his sacrifice upon the cross, and because through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, I will live forever. His earthly life may be snuffed out. His lungs may no longer fill with breath. But because Jesus Christ appeared on this earth, and because he gave himself on the cross of Calvary, and because he was raised victorious from the dead on Easter Sunday, we can live forever, regardless of what may happen to us. I know that if and when the time comes that I die, that I breathe my last, I will not die. I will go on living, and I will go to be with Christ, because Jesus has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We have that hope. That is the hope that sustains us, or that should sustain us, day by day. Don't ever forget that. If you do not have that hope, then give yourself to Jesus Christ today. Because then no matter what happens to you, you will continue to live, and your life will be all the richer when all the pain of the human body and all the sicknesses that we have and the things that can go wrong with the body will be laid to rest. Life will continue. But Paul has something to say not only about the continuance of life after death, after Nero snuffs Paul's life out. Paul also has something to say about life right now. And it is surprising. It is very surprising. Here is what he says in verse 8. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Now, I can probably almost guarantee you, and I can almost guarantee myself, this is probably not something I would put in a last will and testament to any of my children. I want you to join me in suffering. We look upon all suffering as bad. We look for a life of comfort. We are used to that in our society. Yes, there are situations in our lives that crop up where we suffer physically, financially, emotionally, socially, but it is not something we generally wish upon our children or upon our grandchildren. Paul had indeed lived an enormous life of suffering. He is suffering right now. in this prison and in the thought of what will happen to him in the coming days. And you might think that he would say, I don't wish this type of suffering on my worst enemy. But this is what Paul says to Timothy. Join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. I read an interesting story. I don't remember if it was in one of the leaflets that we handed out here, whether it was something I read on the internet, whether it was something I read in a Christian magazine, but it was about a visitor, a missionary visitor, who is in one of the Asian countries. I don't remember which one it was, whether it was Myanmar or one of the other countries, but it was a country where there was suffering for Christians going on. And this person was invited to pray with a group of Christians who were suffering. He was praying the prayer in English, and then it was being translated. And I wish I had kept that leaflet, but I didn't. But one of the things he said in his prayer was that he prayed that they would not need to suffer for the gospel, but that they would be able to live their lives in peace. And when the person who was translating translated that for the believers who were listening to him pray, they suddenly started to make quite a racket. And he could not understand what was going on. Why did they make this racket while he was praying? And then the translator said to him, you are not praying the prayer that they want you to pray. They want you to pray that they may suffer for the gospel, because that's what they believe God is calling them to do. We don't think in those terms in our country. We think of us going about our lives in peace. We think about going our lives from day to day, especially with the freedom of religion, and that the last thing we would have to do would be to suffer for the name of Jesus. That's not Paul's prayer for Timothy. That's not the story we get of the Gospels and the disciples, apostles and the disciples in the New Testament. That's not the message we get from the prophets in the Old Testament. There is a huge amount of suffering for the faith. And if I look at the trends that are taking place in our own country, it is not at all impossible. I said that before. I don't think it will happen in the next year or two, but I think it may happen in the coming years, that we are going to be called more and more to suffer for the fact that we have standards that are different from the standards of the world. Gradually, some of our freedoms, including the freedom of religion, are gradually being pulled back. And there are people who are beginning to experience the result of standing up for Jesus and standing up for the principles of the Gospels. And as a result, their lives are becoming much more difficult. That, to some extent, is what God is calling us to do. It is certainly what God is calling Timothy to do. Join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. If the Lord should choose to do that in my life, and if the Lord should choose that to do that in your life, I encourage you, stand fast. Stand up for the cause of the gospel. It is so easy to say, Well, I will just change my thinking then. There are Christians all over the world today, and we know that especially in countries such as the country that is run by the Islamic State, where people are said, you either confess Allah as God and Muhammad as his prophet, or we will kill you right now. And there are martyrs all over the world, and there have been, especially in the 20th century and on into the 21st century, of people who are giving their lives in order that they might join Jesus in that life and immortality that he promises us through the gospel. And then Paul says to Timothy, verses 13 and 14, what you have heard from me, Timothy, keep the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. That, dear friends, is Paul's admonition to Timothy. He's got more admonitions, but he is certainly including that admonition here. God has given us through the Word and through the Scriptures a good deposit of truth. It is the truth that stands in the Scriptures, and it is the Scriptures that we read from this pulpit every Sunday. And Paul wants to make sure that the truth of the Scriptures is the truth that carries on to the next generation. That is our privilege, but it is also our responsibility to see to it that the people of the next generation continue on in the truth that has been contained within those Scriptures. Timothy here is a young or perhaps a middle-aged pastor. And Paul wants to make sure that wherever he is ministering, the word carries forth. The word that he proclaimed of faith in Jesus Christ, and the word that he himself wrote down in his letters, and that the evangelists wrote down in the Gospels, and so forth. God wants us to testify to the present generation and to the next generation the legacy of the Word of God, which has stood for 2,000 years, if you include the Old Testament, for 3,500 years at least. That truth is what sustains us. That truth is the truth that Jesus proclaimed. That truth is the truth that we proclaim here. And that truth is the truth for the coming generations. And so, dear friends, in whatever way you can, whether it be in your homes, whether it be with your children and grandchildren, whether it be with friends, whether it be with neighbors and co-workers, guard that great deposit and make sure that you do your part so that the next generation will continue that same message. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the truth of the Word of God. That word is a good word. It is a word that has brought us life and immortality and promises us that we will never truly die. We thank you for that promise. And may that promise continue on throughout all generations, so that we may carry on your word until you return again upon the clouds of heaven. Hear us, then, we pray, O Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, our dear Savior and our risen Lord. Amen.
Troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy seas, I cry to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of his hand, guiding my boat, bid safely to land. Leading the way to heaven's bright shore, troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more. Troublesome waters around me do roll, they're rocking my boat and wrecking my soul. Loved ones are drifting and living in sin, the treacherous whirlpool are pulling them in. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of his hand, guiding my boat in safely to land. Leading the way to heaven's bright shore, troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more. The troublesome waters are rolling so high, I'll lift up my voice and to heaven I'll cry. My Lord, I am trusting, give guidance to me and steady my boat on life's troubled sea. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of his hand, guiding my boat in safely to land. Leading the way to heaven's bright shore, troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more.
God bless you.
Thank you again, Randy, for sharing your music with us this morning. It's always a blessing. Immediately following the service, there will be a fellowship time in the greenhouse. And if you would enjoy a cup of coffee or would like to get a little better acquainted, we'd love to have you stop in at the greenhouse after the service. During this past week, I received a message from one of the regular attendees at the Woodland Drive-In Church. And this person suggested that each day this coming week, we take a moment at the same time each day to pray for Verlin. And as those of you who were here last week know, Verlin has requested prayer. He's requested prayer for healing, but not only that, he has requested prayer that Christ might be honored in his body, whether by life or by death. And as the Apostle Paul stated, and Verlin emphasized this last week, he stated near the end of chapter 1 in Philippians, "I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance." Whether by life or by death. And so I invite you, each of you, to pause at noon each day this coming week and to pray for Verlin as part of a united voice of prayer coming from the Woodland Drive-In community. And this morning I've also chosen other verses in chapter 4 of Philippians for our benediction. It says here in verse 5, "The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Thank you all for coming this morning. Go with God this week, and be a blessing.